Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found recorded in the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 7 through 9, and reads as follows. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word. If you can imagine a world in which neither you nor your family nor anyone you really knew had true knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ, a world which you could only live in absolute terror of the thought of death, a world in which you had no love of God, but only despair under God's wrath. A world of utter sinfulness where you were told that you needed to eliminate all sin from your life in order to be saved, and thus heaven would be continually out of reach unless you paid enough money to the right people. In a world like that, you would live and die in fear and despair. If you could imagine a world like that, then you're pretty much imagining the world in which Martin Luther was born in 1483. And you were also picturing a world into which you too might have been born if God had not raised up Luther and those that followed in his footsteps to do the work that they did. It should therefore not be difficult at all to understand why we, the children of the Reformation, who enjoy the fruits of the labors in the Lord of Luther and faithful Lutherans after him, why we're so thankful to our gracious God and why we celebrate Reformation Day every year. May we always maintain and grow in our appreciation of the great blessings that we enjoy as a result of God's work through Luther. And to that end, let us ponder in our hearts on the basis of our text for today some important things to remember on Reformation Day. In the first place, we should remember the faithful preachers of the past. Secondly, we should remember that Christ does not change. And thirdly, we should remember to hold firmly to the true teachings of Scripture. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of his word in your hearts and in your lives. Though we obviously do not worship Luther or honor him the same way that the Roman Catholics honor their Pope or feel duty bound to defend everything Luther ever said or wrote, we do call ourselves Lutherans because we acknowledge that he was a faithful preacher of the Word of God, in contrast to the Romanists and the Reformed. And to this day, we continue to follow Luther's fine example of drawing all of our religious teachings from Scripture alone, sola scriptura. Remembering and following the faithful examples of Christians that have gone before us is a good thing to do. Two chapters before our text, in Hebrews chapter 11, many examples of believers from the Old Testament are cited, who showed their strong faith by their works, in whose footsteps we should follow. Now, in the first verse of our text for today, we are told to remember the fine example set by faithful pastors that the Lord has given us, including those that we've had in the past who have departed this life in peace and entered into heaven. We read, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, which means the end of their earthly life and their entrance into heaven. So we're here told to keep in mind how such faithful preachers of the word of God followed the Lord in their lives and gave us a good example. Faithful pastors like Pastor Natterer set good examples for their flock in preaching the word of God in its full truth and purity, showing their faith by their works. And, of course, a faithful preacher from the past that we especially remember on Reformation Day is Dr. Martin Luther, by whose power and grace alone, by the power and grace of God alone, worked tirelessly to restore the gospel of Christ Jesus, which had so long been hidden and lost, really, under the work righteous dogmas of the Roman Catholic Church. Luther fought zealously for the pure teachings of Holy Scripture against every opposition of the Romanists and the Reformed. And God's powerful word, proclaimed by Luther, prevailed against those who were teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Luther stood bravely in the face of the Emperor of the Holy Roman Empire, Emperor Charles V at the Diet of Worms, and clearly testified there that he would stand on God's pure word alone and not let anything move him from that foundation, clinging to the precious gospel of Christ, being ready to die rather than to give up any portion of God's holy word. And for the blessed results that God brought about through Luther, for the purity of the Christian doctrine that is still ours 500 years later, we glorify and praise the Lord in celebration of Reformation Day. Now, Luther is not famous for teaching new things, but for teaching old things, the things that God had revealed thousands of years earlier in the writings of the Old and New Testaments. In like manner, we still teach what Luther taught 500 years later. So is it about time that we modernize, that we update our teachings? That would only be the case if the Lord our God has changed over the years, if his word and will has changed, which it has not. We read in the next verse of our text, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. Now, what is here said about Jesus, God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, equally applies to all three persons of the Holy Trinity. The God of the Old Testament that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob worshipped thousands of years ago is the same God that we worship today, the never-changing triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And since God himself does not change, it is certain that his word and will never change either. The scriptures tell us that God's gracious will is to save mankind through faith in Christ Jesus without the deeds of the law. And that good and gracious will never changes. The Bible also tells us that it is God's secondary will to punish all those who reject his grace in Christ Jesus and die in their stubborn unbelief. That will also never change. Likewise, the standards of morality set forth in the scriptures do not change along with the changing morality of society around us. His moral law does not permit itself to be updated or revised on the basis of the prevailing social climate. God's law remains the same. Despite drastic changes around us in society, sin is and always will be the transgression of God's holy law. Now, the Roman Catholic Church in which Luther was raised had drastically changed the teachings of God's holy word. They had drastically departed from the Bible and grossly distorted the gospel of salvation by bringing the works of man into the equation, thus destroying true grace. The Apostle Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, "If by grace, then it is no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace, otherwise work is no more work." Being saved by God's grace means we can't be saved by our own works. The concept of works cancels out grace. And God threatens to punish those who would change his saving gospel of Christ into something else, which can never save. Writing to the Galatians, the Apostle Paul says, "There be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." God never has and never will change his word or give permission to any man to change his word. Because the Lord is, as our text for today says, the same, yesterday and today and forever. And that should be a constant comfort for us, because we know that God's promises of love and grace will abide with us until our dying day. It will continue as long as the world stands. Consequently, we can place the greatest trust in everything the Bible tells us, knowing that God will hold true to every word, every statement contained therein. In the last verse of our text, we are warned not to let ourselves be drawn away from the truth by false teachings. We read, "Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines." Strange doctrines are teachings that are foreign to the Scriptures, different than what the Bible teaches, contrary to sola scriptura. God wants his people to be careful that they stick only with the Word of God and make sure that their pastors only teach what lines up with the Word of God. The sheep are to judge their shepherd and make sure that he is only teaching the truth. In the book of Acts, we're even told that the Christians in Berea double-checked what the Apostle Paul was teaching them, checking every day with the Old Testament scriptures to make sure that what he was saying was correct. We read in the book of Acts, "They," the Bereans, "received the word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." Diverse and strange doctrines would include any teaching that diverts from the pure teachings of Holy Scripture, even if only in one area, which might be considered a small matter. Remember how the Lord warns us of the danger of even a little bit of false doctrine, comparing it to leaven or yeast, the way that a little bit of yeast spreads throughout the whole lump of dough into which it has been introduced. St. Paul writes to the Galatians, "A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." And to the young pastor Timothy, Paul says, "Shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker," which is gangrene, spreading like a deadly infection. If a person takes the attitude that some doctrines of the Bible don't need to be held to all that tightly and can be compromised, that the full truth and purity of certain doctrines may be deemed less important, can be sacrificed, not really worth fighting for, then that person is revealing that he does not have a very strong love for the Lord and his word. When a person fervently loves God, his dear Savior, he treasures his word so much that he will not give up any bit of it, and he will hate every evil attempt to change it. In Psalm 97, verse 10, we read, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Yes, love for the gospel of God's grace will cause us to hate the soul-destroying false teachings that contradict and undermine the gospel. It was Luther's fervent love for the gospel that moved him to study and pray and work and write and teach so diligently to restore the knowledge of God's pure word among the people, which had been for so long attacked by the Roman Catholic Church. Now, if we have our minds focused firmly on the gospel, having our hearts established with the grace of God in Christ Jesus, that will help us to be firmly grounded in the faith and be much less likely to be drawn away by false teachings. And this is what we're told in the last verse of our text, where we read, "Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein." Notice here how the gospel of Christ is here contrasted with the doctrines of men. The gospel of Christ is the grace of God that establishes our heart, makes it firm and strong in the faith, whereas the teachings of man's wisdom do not profit us at all, provide no spiritual benefits whatsoever. The word meats in this verse refers to that which is adiaphora, things that God has neither commanded nor forbidden, such as what kind of food you eat. Now, some Christians at that time did put a great deal of emphasis on staying away from certain foods that were forbidden in the Old Testament scriptures and resting on the Sabbath day, because those things were part of the ceremonial laws of old, which God had commanded in the Old Testament as foreshadows of the redemptive work of Christ. But since Christ has now completed his work of redemption, those foreshadows are no longer needed, and they've been abolished, requiring that New Testament Christians still follow those Old Testament laws would be what we call legalism, teaching that God requires certain things that he has not required. Such legalism was very common in the Roman Catholic Church of Luther's day, and it still characterizes the Roman Catholic Church to this day. That kind of legalism distracts both from the law of God and the gospel. In fact, it undermines the gospel. It distracts from the law by directing people to focus more on the commandments of men rather than the commandments of God. And it undermines the gospel by making a sinner believe that he needs to do certain works of obedience in order to establish a good relationship with God in this life and be favorably received by him in the next life. Whereas the true gospel makes it clear we're saved by God's grace and our works have nothing to do with it. So how did the Roman Catholic Church become so legalistic? It did not happen all at once, but gradually, over time, certain false teachings, certain commandments of men were introduced. And gradually, they were tolerated. And finally, officially accepted. So that finally, the Roman Catholic Church had become completely leavened with error, soul-destroying error that undermines the very gospel of salvation. Now, if we're not careful, that same thing could happen in this congregation. It could happen in the Concordia Lutheran Conference, though we earnestly pray that God would graciously prevent that. And the way that it is prevented is by doing what we're told in this last verse of our text, to hold firmly to the pure word of God, not be distracted by the commandments of men, be established with God's grace, not be carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. And then we'll be following in the fine footsteps of Dr. Martin Luther. So on this Reformation Day, we do think about and rejoice in the work that God accomplished through Luther. We rejoice that the Lord and His word never change. So we dare not change it. But we must consistently oppose every attempt of the devil to draw us away from God's holy word and stand fast in the grace of God in Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.